Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in the world. I'm Brad White, Director of Communications for North America. Welcome to ICANN's first ever quarterly stakeholder call. This is patterned after for-profit quarterly shareholder calls. Obviously, we don't have shareholders, but we have many stakeholders scattered around the globe, and this is one way that we want to inform them in very factual terms what is happening within the organization. Now, in just a few minutes, I'm going to turn it over to our CEO, Vadi Shahadi, who is currently in Uzen, China, where he's attending the World Internet Conference, so it's a little late there for Vadi. Vadi will kick things off with a brief presentation. Then he's going to introduce some key ICANN executives who will also give brief presentations. Following that, we're going to take your questions. So if a question comes to mind during these presentations, please jot it down, and you can ask it during the Q&A portion at the end. Now, there's two ways to ask a question. One is online, where you can post a question in the Q&A box on the in the online screen there. The other way is to ask your question via phone. Let me note at this point that while this call is occurring in English, it's also being simultaneously interpreted into five additional languages: French, Arabic, Russian, Spanish, Portuguese, and Chinese. The technical team is telling me that we're having a few technical problems. The tech team is telling me we have a few problems with the Russian line, so we might not be able to take a Russian question until those are resolved. Hopefully that will be taken care of shortly. Now, if you're on the phone, your phone is currently muted. If you have a question, please hit #3. It sounds like we have an alien force coming in on us. Hopefully we can get rid of that within a minute or two. If you have a question, your line is currently muted, hit #3 to unmute your phone. Give the conference operator your name, who, if anyone, you're representing, the city and country that you are calling from. We will introduce you, and you can then ask your question. Now, if you're on one of the non-English lines, one of our interpreters will simultaneously interpret your question into English. Once a question has been asked, Fadi will either answer the question or ask the appropriate subject matter expert to address the question. A couple of final notes here. Please be brief. This is really not the right time to make an impassioned speech, no matter how eloquent it might be, and I'm sure it would be. We are really far more interested in answering your questions. There are a lot of people online and on the phone, and we want to hear from as many as possible in the limited time we have. We'll be ending in about 90 minutes, I believe, at 15:30 UTC. We probably will not get to every question that is raised, given the limited time we've got. But even if we don't get to your question, it will be posted to the ICANN website along with a response. So we will attempt to get you a response, even though we may not be able to do so in real time. So with that, allow me to introduce Vadi Shahadi, ICANN's President and CEO. Vadi?
Thank you, Brad. Welcome to ICANN's first quarterly stakeholder call. The purpose and rationale of the ICANN quarterly stakeholder call is to provide a predictable and regular window into ICANN's activities through a fact-based update on progress against our strategic objectives and our mission. This includes ICANN's role as coordinating body for names, numbers, and protocol parameters. As many of you know, our fiscal year runs from 1st of July to 30th of June. This quarterly call will focus on the first quarter of fiscal year 2015, which is 1st of July to 30th of September. Today, I'm going to provide you with a short overview of quarter highlights. My overview will be followed by more in-depth presentations on policy, policy implementation, operational performance, and a financial update. Recently, ICANN adopted its strategic plan as a framework for five-year planning and for our one-year operating plan. The strategic plan is built from community input and collaboration via public comments and community feedback received through three public comment periods over a period of 17 months. From this, one of our key new focus areas is the development and implementation of a global public interest framework bounded by ICANN's mission. One way we will address this is through the new Development and Public Responsibility Department. Looking at our finances, we see revenues are higher than forecasted and expenses slightly lower. We also see a slight softening on the revenue side. Later in this report, we will talk about some of the trends driving this assessment. We also strengthened our technical posture with the hiring of a new Chief Technology Officer, David Conrad, who rejoined ICANN to work closely with internal and external stakeholders in order to develop the technology roadmap for the Internet Identifier System and coordinate with the community. Additionally, our ongoing technical engagement around the world focuses on capacity building and technical training. We are now in a period of stabilizing staff growth and deploying staff throughout our hubs and engagement centers with a focus on efficiencies and controls. In this quarter, we added only 15 employees. In the previous quarter, we had added 23. We currently have a total of 306 employees in 28 countries. ICANN's president of the Global Domains Division, Aka Matala, and our chief financial officer, Xavier Calvez, will cover much more of this information in their presentations later. Last month, we announced the creation of a new position called Chief Contract Compliance Officer, and Alan Grogan was appointed to fill the role. He oversees an expanded department called Contract Compliance and Safeguards that will consider ways that ICANN can work cooperatively with others in the Internet community to help safeguard registrants and the global Internet community through improving and enhancing our contract enforcement activities, as well as exploring other activities we may undertake to help protect the health, lives, security, and privacy of Internet users and registrants. Of course, all of these activities must be consistent with ICANN's limited mandate, mission, and core values. ICANN also launched the third year of the three-year contractual compliance audit. It will run through May 2015. This follows completion of the audit's second year, in which we audited six registries and 317 registrars, with a result that 98% were in compliance but by the end of the audit. In addition, ICANN is completing the first new registry audit on 14 top-level domains. Of the 14, three top-level domains will be retested, one is in the remediation phase, and 10 have received a no-deficiency report. Next, I will quickly overview what is happening in the IANA function stewardship transition and enhancing ICANN accountability processes. The global community is engaged and on track on both the stewardship transition from the United States government and the strengthening of ICANN's accountability. This is a very powerful test of how the multi-stakeholder model works in a bottom-up fashion. It is indeed bringing together different people to form cohesive groups to deliver on a proposal the U.S. government is expecting next year. More than 100 people from 41 countries are involved in the NAMES community effort alone. We are confident the community is coming together. These efforts are my number one priority, but with recognition that ICANN's number one mission is to ensure the security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet. This will remain so. The transition should not trump our number one focus, and that is on maintaining and enhancing the organizational structures and operational capabilities to facilitate the community's development of policy and deliver on implementation. Last month, the United States Secretary of Commerce, Penny Pritzker, asserted and reaffirmed the United States government's commitment to this transition and to the multi-stakeholder model as that which will preserve and protect a strong, stable, and resilient Internet. ICANN is committed to maintain its limited remit with the global distributed Internet governance ecosystem as coordinator of technical Internet identifiers, Internet protocol parameters, address space, and the domain name system. ICANN will continue its successful coordination with the multi-stakeholder community on Internet governance issues in global fora, as achieved at the Internet Governance Forum in Turkey and the International Telecommunications Union Plenipotentiary in Busan, South Korea, as well as in preparations for the World Summit on the Information Society Plus 10 review in the United Nations General Assembly in December 2015. For the growing number of areas that are not being addressed with existing structures, ICANN embraced the Net Mundial principles that were developed in Brazil, and ICANN continues to support the distributed Internet governance ecosystem to fill out what is missing. A concrete way this is happening is through the newly announced Net Mundial initiative. Launched on November 6, this new initiative reflects the partnership of CGI Brazil, the World Economic Forum, and ICANN. It is a multi-stakeholder initiative to energize bottom-up collaborative solutions in a distributed Internet governance ecosystem. We are committed to work with other global players to empower and develop and evolve the ecosystem so that it does not stay rigid and also responds to further global needs and identified gaps. It is important to note that while this happens through the Net Mundial initiative, as one of the avenues, we are still fully committed to the distributed nature of an Internet governance ecosystem we are part of. I doubt many of you will be surprised to see how busy we have been on the policy development areas during the past 3 months. ICANN's important policy development work is undertaken by our hardworking and diverse volunteer community from around the world. In recent years, we've seen great growth in the number of people who are engaging with us. Our meeting attendance continues to grow over time, with our most recent meeting, ICANN 51, bringing more than 2,200 participants, the third largest participation of all time. This past quarter, the manager of .in, the country code top-level domain for India, joined the country code domains supporting organization, bringing the total number of members to 152. Five new members joined the governmental advisory committee, bringing the total to 146 members with 31 observers. Since July 1st, we've had 70 working groups tackling issues as diverse as reviewing ICANN's geographical regions, assessing where the line is drawn between policy and implementation, and whether curative rights protection mechanisms in place for both pre-2012 and the new generic top-level domains should be amended to permit their use by international governmental organizations and international non-governmental organizations. As you know, all of our policy development is done through bottom-up, consensus-based models. This means that community members have many opportunities for providing their point of view on many topics. During this last period, we held 13 public comment periods. Also, the At-Large Advisory Council issued 11 advice statements. The Governmental Advisory Committee issued 28 pieces of advice. The Security and Stability Advisory Committee issued two reports, SSAC 068 which is a report on the IANA functions contract, and ESSAC 067, which is an overview and history of the IANA function. The board and its new GTLD program committee passed 37 resolutions. Indeed, a very busy quarter and a period to be very, very pleased with. Now, I'd like to introduce David Olive, ICANN's Vice President of Policy Development Support, who will walk you through a more detailed overview of the quarter's achievements in this important area. David?
Provide an update on the past quarter's policy development activities. ICANN's policy development activities related to the technical coordination functions mentioned are formed and refined by the ICANN community through its three supporting organizations and influenced by four advisory committees. Other internet policy and technical organizations are also involved in policy development, for example, the Internet Engineering Task Force and the regional internet registries. All policy activities are comprised of volunteers in a bottom-up, multi-stakeholder, open and transparent process. ICANN stakeholders include companies that offer domain names to the public, registrars, companies that operate top-level domain registries, and these would be the generic top-level domain and the country code top-level domain registries, internet service providers, intellectual property interests, business users, non-commercial users such as academics and non-governmental organizations and nonprofit organizations, and individual internet users and governments. Volunteer policy development activities start at the working group level and form around a policy development, a policy advisory, or an ICANN-related issue. Many of these working groups are open to everyone in ICANN's volunteer community. As mentioned during this period, we have 70 active working groups across the supporting organizations and advisory groups focusing on various ICANN policy and related issues. Public comments are sought at several stages in the policy development process to let interested community members provide their views on policy proposals and to ensure that policy recommendations reflect the concerns and perspectives of the broader internet community. During this period, there were 13 public comment processes opened for input from the ICANN community on policy development and other ICANN issues, ranging from domain name transfer policy changes, introduction of two-character domain names, ICANN's accountability processes, to new GTLD auction rules. Considering the diversity of stakeholder views and finding a balance that is acceptable to all makes the policy development process more like a marathon than a sprint. Yet it results in recommendations that are fair, effective, and carefully considered, preserving and enhancing the security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet. Now I will turn to updates on the quarter from the three main supporting organizations: the generic name supporting organization, the country code name supporting organization, and the address supporting organization. In this period, the generic name supporting organization initiated two areas of work. First, on the new top-level domain, generic top-level domain subsequent procedures, that is to discuss the experience gained from the first round of the new top-level domain name applications and identify subjects for future issue reports. And the second area, in collaboration with other supporting organizations and advisory councils committees of ICANN, on the development of the IANA stewardship transition proposal for naming-related functions. The generics name supporting organization has several policy development processes in progress at various stages, including working groups on the proxy and privacy services and their accreditation, translation and transliteration of contact information for directory services, and the use of curative rights mechanisms to protect the names of international governmental organizations and international non-governmental organizations. In addition, the 18 recommendations of the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy were adopted unanimously by the Generic Name Supporting Organization Council, aimed at improving the policy framework for domain name transfers between registrars. Issues addressed related to the transfer dispute resolution, penalties for policy violations, and the form of authorization. Furthermore, the issues identified in the Uniformity of Reporting Final Issue Report, looking at existing systems to track policy violations and or complaints, as well as improvements and changes in reporting mechanisms, were addressed. The Generic Name Supporting Organization Council has now formally closed this matter. Finally, to encourage early engagement in and understanding of policy development issues, the Generic Name Supporting Organization appointed a liaison to the Governmental Advisory Committee as part of the ongoing activities of the Joint Consultation Group on Early Engagement. In this period, we see the process in the Generic Name Supporting Organization policy development in this graphic, and I describe some of the step-by-step details. Moving on to the country code names group, in this quarter, the IANA stewardship transition and accountability process were the major efforts and focus for the country code community. The country code name supporting organization established a working group to track and coordinate activities on this issue. Among the milestones reached this quarter were leaders and memberships appointments to cross-community working groups. Because of the importance of the stewardship transition and related accountability process, critical efforts were made to reach the entire country code top-level domain community, not just those who were members of the country code names supporting organization. Outreach, including special email lists and web pages, were done to ensure involvement of the regional organizations and others in this important activity. The Country Code Name Supporting Organization Council is forming a new working group on Internet governance and appointing new members to it. This new permanent committee will inform and engage the Country Code community in Internet governance discussions. Among the Country Code Names Supporting Organization's recently completed activities is the interim adoption of a work on interpreting policy for delegation and redelegation of country code top-level domains from the RFC 1591, the basic document. After extensive and exhaustive discussions, including a final round of consultation with the community there present at ICANN 51, the Council adopted the framework of interpretation on an interim basis to allow the Governmental Advisory Committee time to provide input and express support. The framework of interpretation work is a key policy-related process that impacts how country code top-level domains may be delegated or redelegated from one country code top-level domain manager to another. Finally, the country code name supporting organization also continued discussion on the use of secure email transmissions in readiness for potential security incidents. In terms of the address supporting organization, Global Internet Number Resource Policy is developed through a bottom-up and inclusive process. Beginning in the geographic regions, issues are raised through the regional Internet Registry community in the Number Resource Organization and brought into the address supporting organization. Global policies are forwarded to the ICANN Board of Directors, and upon ratification, new policy is implemented by ICANN's Internet Assigned Numbers Authority Department, working cooperatively with the regional internet registries, their constituencies in the respective regions. The regional internet registry communities actively participate in regional policy issues and development, as well as global policy affecting the relationship between ICANN and the Internet Assigned Number Authority Department and the regional internet registries. During the regional meetings over the past year, more than 40 policy proposals regarding Internet Protocol V6 and Internet Protocol V4 numbering policies have been brought forward for discussion and review, with those having consensus support within their communities moving forward to become official policy. During this period, the community focused on the IANA stewardship and IANA accountability matters. In addition, the Address Support Organization Advisory Council members and the executives of the number resource organizations, the five chief executive officers of the regional internet registries, attended ICANN 51 and held information sessions with other ICANN community groups on regional policy matters such as IP Internet Protocol version 4 depletion and Internet Protocol version 6 allocation and resource certification, among others. Finally, the policy team will conduct a policy update webinar, an event we hold before each ICANN meeting, to provide the latest policy development information to community members in their preparation for ICANN 52 in Singapore. This webinar will be held on January 29th. Please mark your calendars, and we will be sending more details. Now I'm going to soon hand it over to my colleague, Akram Atala, who is the president of the Global Domains Division, which is the unit in ICANN that implements the policies once it has gone through the policy development process I just described. The mission of the Global Domains Division is to serve the global public interest, the registrants, and end users of the Internet by ensuring a secure and stable domain name system while promoting trust, choice, and competition in the trusted domain name industry. And with that, I'd like to hand it over to Akram to give the management update. Akram, please.
Thank you, David, and good morning, everyone. Today, I'm presenting on behalf of ICANN management, and we have envisioned having a different member of ICANN's global leadership team rotate on each quarterly call to give a comprehensive update across ICANN. So today, I'll give a report on ICANN's operational matters, including a technical update, business operations service tickets, names and the new GTLD program, and an update on globalizing ICANN staff. In the engagement report, I'll cover our technical outreach and engagement efforts and spotlight some of the efforts from the Latin America and Caribbean region during last quarter. I will then turn it over to Xavier for the financials, followed by a 30-minute Q&A for all speakers. Now, moving on to some highlights from Q1. Many of you may remember that we appointed David Conrad to the newly created role as ICANN's Chief Technology Officer. He has a lot of experience with the community, and one of his top priorities is to closely collaborate with internal and external stakeholders to develop a technology roadmap for the Internet Identifier System. Since joining in August, David has reinitiated efforts related to rolling the root zone's DNSSEC key, which is the cryptographic key used in the process of securing the domain name system. This project is tied to a commitment made by ICANN, VeriSign, and NTIA to roll the key in 2015. The 18th root key signing key ceremony was also conducted in the quarter. On the LRoot side, we are improving server capacity through optimizing host selections while maintaining the location count at greater than 150. Continuing in the technical space, in IT, four new senior hires joined ICANN as part of a wider new IT roadmap that Ashwin Rangan, our CIIO, is leading. We've also just signed a contract with a third party called Zensar, based in Pune, India, to handle all IT development and testing. And this quarter, we finalized the name collision occurrence management framework. Registry operators began implementing the required mitigation mechanisms as early as 18 August, and I am pleased to report that these measures are working as intended. Next, we turn to the IANA functions, which encompass names, numbers, and protocol parameters. This slide shows the detailed breakdown of requests by category processed by the IANA department last quarter, which totaled 1,410 requests. There were 270 domain-related requests that included new TLD delegations, routine root zone changes, .int, and .arpa requests. In addition, three number-related requests, 862 protocol parameter requests, and 275 general inquiries were processed, which brings the total requests to 1,410 last quarter. Once again, the IANA team met or exceeded all defined service level performance metrics. Next, we look at the tickets processed in the contractual compliance department and our customer service center. Looking now at the overall compliance of contracted parties and by domains registered through registrars in a given region, this slide details complaint volume by region. The data shows, by region, the percentage of GTLD registrars and registries that have contractual compliance complaints presented against them. Take North America, for example, which has the most domains registered through registrars in the region, 104 million, as well as the highest number of complaints, about 6,000 in total. But those complaints only make a very small percentage of the total regional domain volume. In total, there were about 11,500 complaints across all regions during the quarter. Now we'll take a look at tickets from ICANN's Customer Service Center. Looking at our Customer Service Center, we have an average of 200 to 250 case backlogs and in the queue at any given time, and we're able to maintain the work within that range. When looking at the last response time, which measures how often we're giving status updates and communicating on cases, our goal is to provide a status update within 7 days on 80% of the cases. We are currently trending within the 50% range, which is below our goal. However, we're moving in the right direction with updates on average being provided within 4.5 days. Our focus will be managing the outliers so we are more consistent in providing updates to more cases within the target. In terms of resolution time or the time it takes us to resolve a query, our goal is to have 80% of cases resolved within 7 days, and we are trending towards that as we hit 74% in September. Now for a brief update on the new GTLD program and other name-related items. The current round of the new GTLD program was initially expected to run through 2015, but has now been extended through 2017 due to a variety of factors, many of which are not under our control. For items that are under our control, we are doing what we can to shorten the timeline and minimize the related budget impact. Let's take a look at a couple of key new GTLD program statistics. Last quarter, 63 new GTLDs were delegated, and another 73 registry agreements were signed. This brings the total of new GTLDs delegated to 430, with nearly 600 registry agreements executed as of last week. There was also significant progress in resolving contention sets, which are groups of applications containing identical or confusingly similar applied for GTLD strings. 31 contention sets were resolved during the quarter, the majority via self-resolution by affected parties. In September, 3 string conflicts were resolved through ICANN's method of last resort, an auction, that resulted in net proceeds of approximately $13.7 million. Since October 1st, we have seen 31 more sets resolved, with only 4 of them resolved via ICANN auctions. The October auction resolved 3 contention sets and resulted in net proceeds of $12.3 million. The November auction was held yesterday, on November 19th, to resolve one set, .dot, which went for the winning bid of $700,000. The updated net proceeds will be published in the coming days on our website. I want to reiterate 2 key points regarding auction proceeds. 1, these funds are segregated from ICANN's operating budget. 2, the community will be consulted as to how these funds should be used. And there are still outstanding string sets. We don't know how many of these will be settled through the auction process, nor can we accurately estimate the amount of funds that could be generated. Once we have a better understanding of the scale of the proceeds, we'll begin discussions with the community on how best to use these funds. Turning now to internationalized domain names, or IDNs, which are top-level domains that allow Internet users to access domain names in their own language. The Chinese script Root Zone Label Generation Rules panel was seated. This is the second panel to be seated, following the Arabic panel in February. In addition, 2 proposed IDN country code TLDs, one for the Republic of Iraq and one for the Republic of Belarus, passed string evaluation. We also published several reports in GDD, which you can see here on the slide. Moving on to the engagement front, this map highlights a few events ICANN participated in or arranged. These are just some examples of our technical outreach efforts around the globe. The Reshti roadshows are interactive, hands-on workshops targeted at Reshti operators, Reshti back-end technical operators, soon-to-be Reshti operators, and agents of Reshtis to help them understand important operational, startup, and industry-related topics, as well as a chance to network with other participants. Last quarter, we held events in Los Angeles and Tokyo, and there is another one taking place in Istanbul right now. Feedback has been very positive, and in Tokyo, there were over 60 participants. On the registrar side, we held face-to-face events in Tokyo and Seoul, South Korea, as part of our ongoing efforts to bring ICANN to registrars, instead of making them always come to us. We held our latest DNSSEC roadshow in Yaoundé, Cameroon, which is a key series for the African region as it helps encourage local development on the domain name system to ultimately help increase Internet penetration. Over 100 people participated in the Cameroon roadshow, and since the launch last year, these DNSSEC roadshows have helped countries like Kenya get to the point where it has signed its CCTLD zone file, and others like Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, and Burkina Faso who are in the process of doing so. ICANN attended the TLDCon in Baku, Azerbaijan, which had about 100 participants, where we discussed the LRUT, the IANA stewardship transition, and ICANN accountability, amongst other technical discussions for the Cyrillic top-level domain community and for the RIPE NCC community. Now we're going to take a closer look at a few engagement activities from the Latin America and Caribbean region. Engagement efforts in this region are defined as part of the bottom-up, community-driven strategic plan created with stakeholders and ICANN staff, and I'm going to share a few highlights from the last quarter. First, the region held iRoad shows in Guadalajara as part of the World Congress on Information Technology event, and in Sao Paulo at FutureCom, the region's largest technical event, to raise awareness on the new GTLD program, the IPv6 transition, and more broadly, security, stability, and resiliency of the domain name system. We also held a technical workshop in Sao Paulo for about 40 people from the top-level domain community, providing domain name system abuse and misuse training. The regional team has also created a communications plan aimed at delivering information in the languages of the region in a timely way and geared at all audiences, including newcomers to ICANN. Since ICANN's 49th public meeting in Buenos Aires in November 2013, there is now a regular session on the Latin America and Caribbean region at ICANN meetings. At the October 2014 ICANN meeting in Los Angeles, the Latin America and Caribbean region had more than 70 people in attendance, representing a variety of stakeholder groups. Also at the Los Angeles meeting, some of the region's first new generic top-level domains, including .lat, .bar, and .rest, signed their registry agreements. On the government engagement side, last quarter the region entered into a cooperation agreement with the Inter-American Telecommunication Commission and the Caribbean Telecommunications Union. In addition to all these engagement activities, the regional team now has staff operating from Mexico, Bolivia, Brazil, Santa Lucia, and from our engagement center in Uruguay. Let's take a look at how the rest of ICANN has grown around the globe. In the past quarter, we've continued to progress in globalizing ICANN staff, in particular, growth outside of the U.S. to better serve local communities. This comes down to having people on the ground working closely with ICANN stakeholders and providing services in the local language. So it makes sense, for example, to see marginal growth last quarter in the U.S. and more growth in the Asia-Pacific Oceania region. We have grown our Istanbul and Singapore hub offices and actually had to expand both offices during the last quarter. And we also have remote staff not in a hub office. And we are now entering a period of stabilizing our staff growth. To help illustrate this, we had a net addition, meaning new hires minus departures, of 15 last quarter, which is 8 less than the 23 net additions compared to FY14 Q4. So overall, we're seeing that period of staff growth now slow down a little as we're focused on training and developing our people to ensure they have the right tools to be successful at ICANN. Moving on, ICANN's Development and Public Responsibility Department has four focus areas that I'll talk briefly about. The first focus area is education, which consists of our online learning platform called ICANN Learn, and more broadly, university outreach, such as the regular gatherings with students at Carnegie Mellon University in Rwanda. ICANN Learn now has over 50 courses in total, with 1,000 active monthly users who are viewing about 10,000 lessons a month. The second focus area is providing language services in the 6 UN languages. For example, today's call has 5 interpretations simultaneously in English, Arabic, French, Spanish, Russian, and Portuguese. Many of you are also familiar with language service teams' work at ICANN meetings. At the Los Angeles meeting, the team interpreted 89 sessions and provided transcripts for 126 sessions. This focus area also looks at how we translate content on the ICANN website. This quarter, the team held a focus group on this topic and shared the document for discussion at the Los Angeles meeting. The third focus area is about supporting the next generation and at each ICANN meeting, we partner with 18 to 30-year-olds to discuss and involve them in ICANN's work. At the June 2014 ICANN meeting in London, we had 15 participate in the Next Gen program, and at the recent Los Angeles meeting, there were 12. Also under this focus area is the ICANN Fellowship Program, which had a record number of applications for the Los Angeles meeting with over 357 applicants from 38 countries, representing a diversity of sectors. An official fellowship mentor program was also established to better prepare and engage selected fellows before their ICANN meeting attendance to maximize the overall experience. Now, I'm going to hand it over to our CFO, Xavier Calvez, to share the financial report from last quarter.
Merci, Akram.
I will present the Q1 financial information for our fiscal year 2015. I will first start with the ICANN operations, followed by an overview of the new GTLD program, and conclude with the status of the funds under management. This is an overview of the revenue and expenses of ICANN operations, excluding the impact of the new GTLD program. As you can see, we are overall on target, with the revenue slightly above budget and expenses slightly below budget, which is a good place to be at this point. Q1 support and revenue for operations was over budget by $1 million at $23 million. Operating expenses were under budget at $20 million. The current rate of spend on the USG transition initiative is lower than budget by $500,000 at $1 million. And capital expenses were on budget at $1.5 million. Now looking at support and revenue for the quarter. Here is a breakdown of our support and revenue by source, which includes our contracted parties, the registries and registrars. The other sources consist mainly of contributions from country code operators and regional internet registries, and sponsorship revenue for ICANN meetings. Revenues are generally in line with expectations at the end of Q1 at $23 million versus a budget of $22 million, or about 4% higher. The registries and registrars' revenues are slightly above budget. The revenue generated by the 414 new top-level domains delegated over the past 12 months is $2.6 million in Q1, consisting mainly of $2.3 million of registry fixed fees and the balance of registry and registrar transaction fees of $0.3 million. The Q1 fixed fee revenue from the new TLD registries is slightly lower than budgeted as a result of the rate of delegations being slower than planned. If this situation would persist during the rest of the year, it could have a meaningful impact on this revenue category. Other sources of revenue reflect a favorable variance versus budget, primarily due to timing differences within the fiscal year. Moving on to operating expenses, which on this slide detail both the baseline operating expenses and the approved initiatives costs that we have mentioned earlier, and also include $1.2 million of other income and expenses. The Q1 total operating expenses of $21 million are 7% under budget. by category, personnel, professional services, and administration costs are lower than budget. Overall, this is the result of careful management of our expenses, coupled with a few projects having a slower rate of spend than originally planned. Travel and meetings is slightly above budget, mainly as a result of timing differences. Now let's move on to the new GTLD program overview. The new GTLD program is a $360 million multi-year program created to introduce new top-level domain names. The program is fully funded through the application fees collected in 2012. After 3 years, approximately $154 million has been spent to process the applications and refund withdrawn applications. Approximately $120 million of additional expenses are expected to be incurred through the remainder of the program, leaving remaining funds of $87 million to cover future unexpected expenses, including risk mitigation. Now, looking at the new GTLD program's expenses for FY15, you will see that expenses are consistent in total with the budget, with some timing differences by category. Refunds processed in the quarter exceed budget by $2 million, offset by lower application processing costs and lower repayment of historical development costs by a total of $2 million as well. Let's look now at the funds under our management and how they have evolved over the past 4 quarters. During Q1, the ICANN operating fund at the bottom of each bar and the reserve fund at the top of each bar were stable. The new GTLD funds in the middle have decreased consistently with the expenses and refunds that occurred during the quarter. Separately, the proceeds of $0.6 million from the first auction for the new GTLD program were collected in June and are reflected on this slide. The proceeds resulting from the auctions held in September and October for approximately $26 million have been collected after the end of Q1 and therefore are not included in the funds under management by the end of the quarter. And this concludes the financial presentation. I would like to hand it back to Brad, who will moderate the Q&A session.
Thank you, Xavier. We're now going to take your questions. Allow me to repeat a couple of points that I made in the beginning. If you're online and you have a question, please type it in the Q&A box on the screen, and we will read it from here. If you're on the phone, hit #3 to unmute your phone. Give the operator your name, who, if anyone, you're representing, and the city and country that you're calling from. If you're on one of the non-English language phone lines, your question will be simultaneously interpreted into English. Once a question has been asked, our CEO, Fadi Chahadi, will either answer or call upon the appropriate executive to answer. Again, please be brief. At this point, we're not showing a ton of questions either online. Our conference operators are telling us we don't have a lot in the queue. But that could change in a heartbeat. So at this point, we do have one question. And I think this is probably aimed at you, Xavier, although I'll let Fadi determine that. Can we see a breakdown of professional services, especially those items that are driving the overrun?
Xavier, please.
Thank you, Fadi, and thank you for the question. The professional services in aggregate are showing a slight slight underrun, actually, at 2.9 million for the quarter of actual spend versus 3.8 million budgeted for, or a slower rate of spend of about 23%. One of the drivers to this favorable variance at this stage is the USG transition initiative that has seen a slower rate of spend, as we've indicated, including for the professional services component included in that project. And otherwise, there are a number of projects that are spending at a slower rate than originally planned relative to security-related projects or IDN-related projects, even though we do expect these projects to spend approximately the amount budgeted for this fiscal year.
Thank you, Xavier. We have another question from John Poole online. ICANN's budget assumes 15 million domain name registrations in the new GTLDs for fiscal year 15. According to NTLDstats.com, registrations are falling far short of that assumption. Only 1,825,926 new GTLD domain name registrations thus far in FY15, which is July 1 to November 19, 2014. There's no actual question with that, but I assume the question is, what's your reaction to that, those stats?
Akram, please.
Thank you for the question. So these are projections for the entire year, and as you can imagine, as we entered the year, we had a fewer delegations, and as we progress through the year, the delegations will accelerate. These 15 million registrations are actually still our forecast for the entire year, and we keep a very close eye to the progress of the program and how it's moving. And we will assess on a regular basis whether we need to make any adjustments or not. But as of this time, we believe that this is still our forecast. Thank you.
Thank you, Akram. We have a question from Kieran McCarthy in San Francisco, a journalist with the Register. Kieran, your question online is a little bit confusing. ICANN has said that it will ring fence, I think reference is what you meant, the GTLD excess proceeds and ask the community how to spend the money. Will this be the same process as for the new GTLD auction proceeds or a separate process, and when will that process start?
Akram, please.
Thank you, Kieran. The two funds will be treated separately, but they will be treated in a similar fashion, which means they are actually accounted for, but they are more of a category. The category for that fund is the fund is actually set for unexpected expenses. So we will not know until the program is closer to be finished, whether we need these funds or not. So it will take a longer time to look at this fund and what to do with it, but it will be separated from the auction proceeds and the way it will be reviewed and to find out how we will be spending it. Thank you.
Thank you, Akram. Question from Stefan Van Gelder. Akram, you mentioned that in round one would now only complete in 2017 due to a number of external factors not under ICANN's control. Can you tell us, please, what those are?
Thank you, Stefan. The biggest effect is actually the time that it's taking applicants to move forward in signing their contracts and move forward to delegation. There are extensions that applicants can ask for, and when they ask for these extensions, the program stretches out. There are also the contention sets that are taking well into March for the last auction that ICANN will hold, which might also be extended for a couple of months if the applicants ask for a reschedule. So there are a set of processes that can extend longer than we would like to see them extend, and they are more out of our control. I hope that answers the question. Thanks.
Thank you, Akram. We have a question from Aaron Sukumar. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. What does ICANN see as some of the key takeaways on Internet governance from recently concluded ITU Plenipot at Busan?
Thank you for the question. I think, like many in the Internet community, we are pleased with the Busan outcome. I think the global community has clearly accepted that the ITU's remit should be focused on, and that matters related to Internet governance are handled today in the technical community, of which we belong quite well, and that the remit of each organization should be strong and continue to do what they do well. We are pleased with the outcome of Busan. However, we will continue to remain engaged and vigilant in these global processes to ensure that new and effective mechanisms are in place to address the emerging Internet governance issues. In the meantime, as ICANN, we will continue to focus on our remit, ensure that it stays limited to what the community has asked us to do, and to perform it with excellence. That's the best guarantee that the work we do will continue to be valued alongside with the ITU and other bodies that have their own remit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fadi. We had one question that came in. How does the spend rate compare with last year's?
Xavier, please.
Thank you, Fadi, and thank you for the question. Our spend rate in Q1, as planned, has increased year-on-year by about 15%, mainly driven by the budgeted higher headcount that has occurred, and partially offset by lower travel and meetings costs, as ICANN held one of its three annual meetings during Q1 last year and didn't have such a meeting in Q1 this year. That's mainly the variances of spend year-on-year.
Thank you, Xavier. Another question from James Bladel. Regarding your 15 mm registration forecast for new GTLDs, do your projections make any distinction between generic or community or brand TLDs?
Akram?
Yes, thank you, James. No, we do not look at that in particular. Thank you.
We have another question from Kieran McCarthy. The ISOC board has strongly criticized the approach taken by the NetMundial initiative and refused to join the coordinating council. Will ICANN rethink its approach in response?
Thank you for the question. We are in discussions with the ISOC board and with the community to understand what is driving the announcement by ISOC. We remain very keen on the unity of the technical community, which we've had for a long time, and that is our priority number one, and therefore we will work very closely and in good faith with our colleagues on the ISOC board to understand what was what is that got them to that conclusion. These discussions are already in motion, and we anticipate that, as we've done many times in the past, we will come to good conclusions with them. As again, as I said, what is paramount here is to continue as a strong technical community to defend and support our mission for one global open internet. Thank you.
Thank you, Thadi. Another question. Many statistics have been shared in this session. Will these be available on the ICANN website?
Yes. In fact, there will be a page set up on the ICANN website that will include all the slides and the transcripts of these calls for everyone who couldn't make it today.
Thank you, Thadi. We're not. The conference operators are telling us we don't have any questions on the phone line. I'm seeing no more questions in the queue online. Thadi, do you have some closing comments that you would like to make?
Simply to say thank you for joining us on this first quarterly stakeholder call. As I mentioned in my opening, our goal with these calls is to provide a predictable and regular window into ICANN's activities through a fact-based update on progress against our strategic objectives and our mission. I hope you found today's call informative, and we welcome your feedback. Thank you for participating. This concludes the call.
Thank you very much, Thadi. I might note John Poole had one additional question. We have some technical problems here in the center. Thadi, if you're willing, I'd like to deal with this last question before we close out, if we can do so.
Certainly. What was Mr. Poole's question?
Regarding the IRP filed by new GTLD applicant Donuts regarding .sports, .ski, and .rugby, specifically the allegations made by former ICANN Chief Strategy Officer Kurt Pritz in his expert witness statement, quote-unquote, about violations of ICANN policy and ICANN's new GTLD programs.
Hello?
Thadi, I think, let me reread that. I think Mr. Poole is basically looking for a response regarding the IRP filed by new GTLD applicants Donuts regarding .sports, .ski, and .rugby, specifically the allegations made by former ICANN Chief Strategy Officer Kurt Pritz in his expert witness statement about violations of ICANN policy in ICANN's new GTLDs program.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Poole. We cannot comment and do not comment on details of active IRP matters. But, of course, we assure you that our responses will be publicly available on ICANN's website when done.
Thank you, Thadi. Again, thank you for all participants, the presenters, as well as those who joined us online and on the phone. This was our first effort. Please feel free to reach out to us. Tell us your thoughts about what worked and what didn't. We will be obviously doing many more of these calls in the future, and we'd like to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. And we meet you on our next call on the 27th of January, 2015.